I began a new sermon series looking at the parables of Jesus, and parables are a method of teaching used by Jesus on many occasions. And parables are stories that are cast alongside a deeper truth. Earthly stories with heavenly meaning is what one person called them. They're small stories with big truths. And last week we looked at our light shining, letting our light shine. And today we'll be looking at our next parable, the wise and foolish builders. So if you'd want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, and we'll read through that parable. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now I know in our church here we have many carpenters. We also have a number of people that are just good with carpentry, even though they may not be in that particular profession. And they have a good understanding of foundation. I'm learning a few things here and there, and I decided to look up the importance of a good foundation in construction. And there were many different articles that I read that helped me get a better understanding. Even during the construction phase, a foundation that is off by just a little bit, let's say it's off by 3/4 of an inch out of square, and even let's say it's a 1/2 inch out of level, it may seem just a very little amount to start off with, but as a builder continues with construction, everything will be off. A multi-level building will be significantly off the further one builds up. I've been in a house where the foundation has sunk, where you can drop a marble on the floor and it will just go and go and go. Anyways, another area the foundation impacts is its durability. A weakness in the foundation will lead to a weakness in the building. You see, all the weight of the structure, all the weight of the building rests on the foundation. So the structure is only as strong as the foundation that it's put on. You might have a beautiful multi-million-dollar mansion that's just extraordinary. No expense was held back in building it. But if there's a weakness in the foundation, it doesn't matter how much money you put into the building will have a weakness, even an extravagant one. A wall with a crack, a basement with a flood, a floor that is now uneven. The best of buildings will be subject to the foundation that it's put on. But here's another thing that I really didn't think about when I was researching foundations. The safety of those inside a structure is impacted by the foundation. That's kind of where we're getting to in this parable too. But not every place deals with the same storms and catastrophes, but all are impacted by weather in some way. Storms, flooding, landslides, hurricanes, tornadoes. Now, earthquakes aren't storms, but we'll put that in there too. They're all impacted by these natural disasters. The ability to weather storms and the safety of those in them are often attributed to the strength of the foundation. Obviously, a huge tornado or a 30-foot tidal wave, it really doesn't matter what kind of foundation that building is on because it's going to be destroyed. But normal storms, a good foundation will provide strength. So looking from the cosmetic looks of whether it looks straight and even or all the way to life and death, the foundation is important. Now, for all of you carpenters out there, if I'm off a little bit, let me know. I'm not a carpenter. But these are just some of the articles I was reading when it came to looking at the importance of a foundation. And Jesus is showing us in this parable that he likens his message similar to that of a good foundation. Jesus has been preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and he concludes that sermon with this parable. The topics in the sermon that he's given are vast and variable. Last week, I talked about the light of the world, and that kind of was towards the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And now we are at the end of the Sermon on the Mount with this parable. But with in between there, you have topics such as being the salt of the earth, salt and light. Jesus also gave the Beatitudes. He talked of Jesus, or Jesus talked of fulfilling the law. He talked about anger and murder. He talked about loving enemies. He talked about giving to the needy. He talked about how to pray and fast. He talked about storing up treasures in heaven. He talked about not worrying. He talked about not being judgmental or hypocritical. He talked about seeing the kingdom of heaven as a narrow gate. He talked about watching out for false prophets. All of those were within the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus ends this sermon with this parable. Whoever hears these words and puts them into practice has built on a strong foundation. But whoever hears these words but does not put them into practice is a fool. And they have built on a poor foundation and will ultimately fall with a great crash. That's the end of the Sermon on the Mount. A great crash. We all want to hear the encouraging words. We all want to have, we all want to end on a really good note, not on a crashing note. But this is how Jesus taught. He tells us how much he loves us. He then shows us how much he loves us. And yet we are left with a choice. In the free will that we have been given, we have a choice. Jesus tells us which way to go. Jesus points us in the right direction, and he even says, "Follow me," as he's walking in the right direction. But we have the choice to go that way and follow or not go. We have the choice to do or not do. And Jesus also gives us the consequences for that decision. If you follow me, you will do well. If you choose not to follow me, you will end up building and thinking life is good and, well, all until a great crash. Last week we saw that in Christ there is light and life, but without him there is darkness and death. In this parable, Jesus makes a clear line between a good foundation and a poor one. To follow his teachings is a good foundation. But what other foundation would there be? Many think that there could have been another foundation that was found in the law. So Jesus is saying, follow me, not the law. That's not what Jesus is saying. The law was good and cannot be what Jesus had in mind. Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill it. 1 Timothy 1:8, we know that the law is good if one uses it properly. So if Jesus was not considering the law as the poor foundation, then it was how it was used or understood. See, the good foundation is Jesus Christ, but the poor foundation would be one that is based on maybe the law that was used improperly. Maybe it was based on religious interpretations. And I'm not attacking religion, as religion is a basic understanding held by a group of people. But if your foundation on which you are building your faith is based on a couple of people's opinions on something, it will collapse. The religious elite are the ones that Jesus was speaking to many times, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. See, they believe that their understanding of something in the law was in no way without error. Or it was in no way had any error in how they interpret it. Just even looking at what they said was to keep the Sabbath ended up with 100 rules on what it was to keep the Sabbath. See, these religious elite came up with all sorts of do's and don'ts, rules and regulations. Jesus knew that if your faith is based on a bunch of do's and don'ts, you'll come crashing down. If your faith is based on a person you highly respect. I know there's a lot of people that we resonate with that are pastors, speakers, preachers, people that we listen to on the radio, people that we allow to speak into our lives. But if we base our faith on someone that we highly respect and we build our foundation on what they're telling us and they crash and fall, then we crash and fall with them because our foundation is not on Christ, but our foundation is on someone. Though they may be speaking great truth, we have to realize and remind ourselves that all humanity is fallen except for Jesus. If your faith is based on the Son of God, who was perfect and without sin and gave the example of how to live and be in a relationship with God the Father, that is the foundation that will last. The love of the Father and the Son will never fail. And His words will never pass away. You have a Bible available to you. And let me say, if you don't have a Bible, don't own one, come see me, I'll give you one. But you have a Bible available to you. The words in the Bible are the words of the Lord. They are His revelation to us so that we have a foundation stronger than anything that we can fathom. I would never want to let you down, but I'm a fallen human being too. We're just talking in Sunday school this morning. I've said it before. Don't just take what I say. Take it back to Scripture. The foundation is God's Word. In this parable, Jesus teaches that your actions are important. Just hearing the words of Jesus is not the intended result. Hearing the words is the first part, but putting them into practice is the important part. It's funny, adult Sunday school this morning, a lot of things were said this morning in our class, just as it goes along with our message today. Hearing the words is the first part, but putting them into practice is the important part. I like to go to music concerts. They're always enjoyable. You go to a concert and you listen to the music and you enjoy what you hear, and then you leave and you hope that, you know, you get to go to another concert. That's being a spectator. That's being an observer. That isn't what Jesus intends for us when we hear Scripture. It isn't just coming and hearing and then leaving, going, well, I'll look forward to next time. Christianity is not for spectators, because Christ came to bring transformation and restoration. Jesus is looking for participants. come and follow me is something he said frequently. Come hear the words of Christ and put them into practice. Do what you've heard and make a difference. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Too often, people today get in ruts. They get into routines. They'll read their Bible. They'll take in Scripture, and they'll come to church, and they'll take it in. But if what is being taken in doesn't move to an action or doesn't move you to a change, you're missing a good portion of what it was intended for. Hear it. Do it. Then also go and share it. Another area to take away from this parable is that sometimes we will be tempted to take the easy route instead of the harder one. We often like to see results right away. We want to do the job and get it done quickly because we're often busy and have a whole list of things to do after we're done with this particular job. Now, Jim Harp isn't here this morning, but I've had him come to my house a couple of times to help with some plumbing work with copper pipe. He's helping me do some soldering when we first moved into our house, and I've tried doing copper soldering in the past. Maybe it'll work. Certainly doesn't look good. Half the time you get a little stream of water shooting out the side and you have to take it apart and do it all over again. But watching Jim, I came to realize that the actual soldering part is only 20%, about probably 20% of the work. Maybe even less. Preparation took up the rest of the time. Getting the pipe ends prepped and ready took him a while. But once he had everything clean, everything ready to go, then that solder work went really quickly and it looked great. Making Christ our foundation may require us to take time, may require us to work in order to hear what he has, what he says, and to put it into practice. Reading the Bible, taking time to study and research things, investing in a daily devotional time, and even memorizing Scripture. It's not the easy way, but it is building and preparing the foundation because we're putting Christ as our foundation. Why do you think there's so many codes when it comes to building a home? Because experience and past practices have shown there are proper ways to do things and there are improper ways to do things that bring consequences. Being sloppy and not being careful in the foundation of a home will have significant consequences. And I read you this parable from Matthew, but in Luke shares this parable, but there's a little different twist found in it. And I would like to read it to you. Luke chapter 6, starting with verse 47. Luke 6:47. I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. That part I underlined, dug deep down and laid the foundation on rock. The easy way is to simply just start building where you want to build the house. That's the easy way. The difficult way is after locating where you want to build it, is then digging down. having to go through the work to dig deep to try and find that rock that will be used as its foundation. The topsoil or sand will change with weather and other factors, but the rock is what stood the test of time and has remained constant. See, it might be easy to pick and choose what we want to follow from Jesus' teachings. It might be easy to hear something and then just leave ignoring it. It might even be easy to just do what someone else has said rather than look in Scripture yourself. But that foundation will not hold. Take the time to listen and hear the words of Jesus and put them into practice so that your foundation will be solid. Jesus never changes and the Word never passes away. I'd like to read out of 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 24. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. We know that Jesus' words will never pass away. They stand forever. As I come to close this message, I wanted to read another section of Scripture found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building. Thank you. And someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote that, and he saw Jesus in person on his way to Damascus. And that encounter changed his life forever after that. The Apostle Paul wrote a good portion of the New Testament, and he started many churches. All that he did was to begin building foundations for others to carry on. Different ministries, different outreaches, but he proclaimed the words of Christ. And that was the foundation for everything. You see, without Christ, there's no life, there's no hope. And today we'll be taking some time to remember and give thanks for the foundation that we have in Christ. Today we'll be taking communion, remembering His ultimate sacrifice that He made for us. His body that was broken for us, and His blood that was shed for us. I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians 11, a passage I typically read at the time of communion. It just helps us to remember what it is that why we're taking it, and I don't even have it up there. But 1 Corinthians 11, starting with verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat of this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." We see in that verse that there's a self-examination. When we eat and drink, do we recognize the body and the blood of the Lord? It's the reason why we take it. We remember Christ. We remember His sacrifice for us. I would also say at this time, let us examine our foundation. Is our faith built on Jesus Christ and His Word, or has our faith somehow been built on what others say? Have we taken our relationship with Jesus Christ seriously to know that it's our belief, it's us putting His words into practice, that's our foundation? You know, some things when we take of communion that are often thoughts. Are we taking of communion just because others are doing it? Are we trying to fit in? Or is it because He truly is our foundation, our Savior? Are we putting His words into practice? Are we truly giving thanks for the salvation that we have received from Christ? These are all things to keep in mind before we take. Just an examination. My hope is that all of us can say, Jesus is our foundation.